Hi, everyone. I'm Abby Berger. Welcome to Let's Rethink This. Today, I'm talking with Stephanie Gerard, Director of Human Resources at Chase Park Plaza Royal Sonesta Hotel, and Chris Hample, member at Independence Center and private residence engineer at Chase Park Plaza. We're going to be talking about how companies can help those living with a mental illness be successful in their employment goals. The Chase has been a longtime partner of Independence Center, helping to get members back to work through the transitional, supported, and independent employment programs. But before we get into that, a little bit more about our guests. Stephanie has her bachelor's in business administration with an emphasis in management and organizational behavior. She is an Air Force veteran and a human resources professional specializing in the retail and hospitality industry. She has been instrumental to the success of Independence Center's partnership with Independence Center, helping to get those living with a mental illness back to work. The Chase also was awarded our Employer of the Year Award in 2019 for their exceptional work helping members re-enter the workforce and gain skills and confidence in a supportive environment. Chris is an Independence Center member. He is a skilled carpenter and owned his own business for 6 years before his mental illness onset. He came to Independence Center in 2015 after a slew of mental health issues, and he is now back to work at the Chase Park Plaza, working full-time as a private residence engineer. He is also actively involved in the Strategic Landscape Committee of the Board at Independence Center and is still engaged with Independence Center Clubhouse when the time allows. So Stephanie and Chris, thank you for being here. Welcome. And I'd like to kind of start by allowing Chris to share his story, and then we can get into more of the details around returning to work. So Chris, I'll hand it over to you.
Thank you. A bit of my journey before the center is riddled with suicide attempts, multiple stays in the hospital, along with 21 ECT treatments. I had reached the end of my rope and thoughts of wanting to continue with life. My divorce, separation from my kids, my failing business, and overwhelming financial debt, and all but abandoned from my own family. I was homeless and did not know what I was going to do, but I had a social worker take interest in me and get me into a shelter and then a group home. At that point, when I was secure in the home, I was told about the center and went. When I walked through the doors, I seriously had no clue what or how I was going to go forward or how I was going to get better. When I did, the staff such as Sam Minnis and others that are now into other careers helped me understand I had so much to be thankful for and take things one day at a time. I did that, and through the 5 years, as I look back, I was on a fast track to reestablishing my life and a new me and truly see who I am, and I had so much to live for and do. I was able to get out of the group home, get my own apartment, get a TE at Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network. At Wells, they also saw so much in me and helped me grow and be more confident and supportive. And I am still remarkably close to so many of those teammates I met that they are my best friends. I came from a construction background in carpentry, and all that work ethic still existed inside of me that I took for granted and still live without even knowing it. I went back to Wells Fargo as a contractor and stayed for over a year with the same team. Also, in the time I started my TE, I also went to work at the St. Louis Zoo as a train engineer, as an IC staff member. Alex Johnson knew that I loved trains and had a friend there. I spent 4.5 years at the zoo and again made so many friends and grew as a person. As my contract was nearing the end at Wells Fargo, I was searching for another job and came upon the Chase Park Plaza Hotel. I was immediately hired as maintenance engineer and worked until April of this year and was laid off due to COVID. I have since been rehired and placed in a new position of maintenance engineer for the private residence. I am also now a speaker with NAMI in their program and our own voice, telling my story and helping others understand their illness and know there is help and they can get better. I tell this part as it is critical to my recovery with the help and support of the Independence Center. I have done videos for the center in 2017 and was the member dancer in 2020 and raised through donations over $30,000. This would have not been possible without the center. I would have been 6 feet under, dead, if this had all not happened. The center has saved my life and shown me that I have so much to give and be part of. With being part of the board, I continue my journey and be a major part in the ongoing and ever so evolving path the center has and help with those if needed. I am a very caring man and come from a background of giving back to the community and helping and being that voice for those that are very often unheard. I know what it's like to walk out of a hospital and have that feeling no one cares and where do I go from here? The center is based on an amazingly simple principle of relationships and helping those build on building up those that need it. The center has so much more potential to help so many more and help them find who they are and survive their illness. That's kind of my story. Let's go ahead and give it back to Abby.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you so much for sharing. And I love hearing your story every time you share it because you have faced so much adversity, but have overcome it. And I think a lot in part because of your work ethic and because of your determination not to give up on yourself, and also being able to surround yourself with people that care about you and want to see you succeed. And I think that's one of the things that I noticed so much about the relationship with the Chase Park Plaza is that they have been just so supportive of our members returning to work, and in particular you. And so thank you. And thank you, Stephanie, for representing the Chase in this conversation and talking about your background. And I'd love to just have you briefly share kind of how you got involved with Independence Center and what you have come to know in that relationship.
Thank you, Abby, for having me here today. I'm always happy to help the Independence Center in any way that I can. So a little bit about me. I've worked in human resources for nearly 20 years, and I've gone back and forth between the retail and hospitality industries, which are two very similar industries in many ways. Prior to working for Sonesta, I helped open the Whole Foods Central West End location. And during our opening, one of your colleagues, Donna, came by the store to tell us all about the Independence Center. She invited us to stop by and tour the clubhouse and learn more about your employment programs. With the craziness of the new store opening, I didn't get the chance to take her up on the offer. But later that year, I started working at the Chase Park Plaza. We were facing some staffing challenges, and I immediately thought about the Independence Center. We met with a few employment managers, and this time we took them up on their offer to tour the clubhouse. Once we saw the clubhouse and learned more about the employment programs, we knew this could be a win-win partnership.
Yeah, it definitely has been. And so many people have gone through the transitional supported, even the independent employment programs with the Chase. And you both are so clearly very passionate about the power of work. And I want to get into a little bit about what those different programs are. Because Chris, as you said in your story, you've participated in both the transitional supported and now independent employment. So first, I wanted to just explain what is transitional employment, what is that program, and how does it work? So Chris, could you handle that one?
Sure. The transitional employment program is it's kind of a part-time program where the Independent Center, in essence, owns that position through the employer, and that they will take members for a 6 to 9 month period and place them in those positions, which are typically a full-time position, but to maximize the most out of what the members can get, is then split into two part-time positions, you know, for the members, so that we can get as many members actively involved. for me, it was, you know, again, like I said, I really had no clue what I was going to do. And physically, I knew I couldn't do the construction work. So I was doing a lot of work within the unit and at the center. And with all my, you know, computer skills and that, a position at Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network opened up. And I was a perfect fit, you know, with my work ethic and, you know, the things that I had done and all that I could do.
So a nice thing about the transitional employment program is that Independent Center really helps get members into those positions because they're acting kind of like a go-between the company and the member seeking employment. And a lot of times in transitional employment positions, particularly, it's supporting somebody who's been out of the workforce for a while, who maybe has a gap in their resume. And I think it's a great opportunity for our members. Was that the case for you, Chris? Had you been out of work for a while before you went back and worked at Wells Fargo?
Yes. With the onset of my illness, with the severity of my depression and how it got worse, I wasn't able to support myself with my business. And, you know, basically, I kind of explain it as, you know, picture a 747 heading headfirst into the ground. That's what my life was happening, and that's kind of how everything evolved. So it was about a year, almost 2 years, through, you know, going to the hospital, getting stabilized, and then getting into the center, and then getting established there, and then building those relationships and getting into the center and then getting into that transitional program, that I was able to, you know, to start over again.
What was it like for you, Chris, to meet new coworkers and kind of reintroduce yourself into the workforce with a mental illness diagnosis?
It was kind of different, as because it was a completely different atmosphere, you know, being an office setting versus a construction site. So everyone is, you know, closely working together, and they, you know, everyone learned a lot about everyone else very quickly, as to, you know, just day-to-day, you know, actions and reactions with each other, and just the work that gets done and needs to get done. So there was a set of, you know, there was a set of rules, I shouldn't say rules, but a set of work that had to be done. And I had, you know, clearly achieved all that. And I was like, you know, asking for more. I kept asking for more work, because it's like my sitting still just wasn't, you know, wasn't good for me. And I felt that I needed to keep going and keep, you know, keep moving. And again, that's kind of what I take for granted and part of what I am and what I do with the work ethic, to keep going.
Well, and I mean, this is an assumption, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the more your confidence built in your role and the more successful you were, the more you wanted to continue working and building on that, on those employment goals that you had set for yourself initially.
Absolutely. Again, it's one of those things that I didn't, you know, I don't really realize until after the fact. I just keep going, and then I sit back and it's like, wow, I really did that. I mean, I got through that. I did this, I got started again, and something that I thought I could never do.
Yeah, and that's such a cool part of returning to work and being part of a work community. And Stephanie, from your perspective as an employer, you know, these transitional employment positions are only 6 to 9 months. And so they're not very long. How did you handle that rotation of people coming through the programs? I know a lot of hesitancy that we hear from potential employers that we want to collaborate with is that it might be a little bit difficult on the employer. So what would you say about that?
So when we learned about the transitional employment program, we really had to take a look at how can we make this work with our organization. And so we worked closely with the managers to identify, you know, what would be the best positions to have employees be in. And, you know, as Chris said, often you have a full-time position. And because the transitional employment program is a part-time employee program, you can take two members to fill one position. So that's what we did. We found entry-level positions that had a fairly short training time. So that helps with the transition. Also, the employment managers are amazing. That really helps because if somebody calls out sick, you still have an employment manager who comes and covers that shift. So it really doesn't affect the operation because we always know we're going to have someone there to fill the role. So that really helped in making this program successful.
And I didn't give you this question ahead of time, but I am curious about this. When the relationship was first established between Independent Center and the Chase, how did people react to the news, oh, we're going to be employing people with severe mental illness? I would assume that there was probably some hesitancy. So how was that introduced? How did people react to that?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there were definitely some people who were a little hesitant about the program. And so we just did our best to educate them about the Independent Center and about the members. Some of your directors came to the hotel and met with the management team to explain, you know, what the organization is all about and how the programs work. And I think there were still some people who were a little hesitant, but we made sure that we put the employees in a great supportive environment. Our pastry team is a very small team and they're very positive and encouraging. And so we used one of the stewarding positions in that department as our first TE position. And that was a really supportive environment that worked well. And then from there, we were able to grow the program into other stewarding positions, other housekeeping positions, and just a variety of entry-level positions. But I think working closely with the employment managers is what really made the difference. It really helped us to understand what the members were going through. They would educate us about the challenges each member had and just kind of walk us through that process of making this successful.
And I think that's so important because a lot of the challenges that our members face going back to work is how do I manage my mental illness if I become symptomatic? What's the fallback? How do I talk to my employer about that? And the transitional employment program really takes that concern out and people don't really have to worry about that because they know that they're in a really supported environment, both with the employer and with the placement managers from Independent Center. And I do want to kind of transition and talk about a little bit of the supported employment program because that program's different than the transitional employment program. So Chris, do you want to explain what the supported employment program is and how it's a little bit different from transitional employment?
Sure. The supported employment program is different in the essence that you would not have support staff with you from the center. This would be a job that they can help you find. They will walk you through all of the steps of getting hired, the interview, how to best prepare yourself. And, you know, they're always, you know, they're willing to meet you, you know, like after work or during lunch, you know, make sure that you're doing okay. And it's not as much as the one-on-one as it is with transitional. It's just kind of a step above it. So that you really get a sense of, you know, I can do this, you know, I am getting through this. And these are also positions that you would be able to find on your own, or the center would help you find with their connections and employers that they work with. So that's kind of, you know, the basics of how the supported employment works.
And supported employment is not time limited, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that's a little bit different. So if somebody were coming in, and I think this is a good clarification that I should make to anybody listening, is that it's not a stair stepper program. So when somebody comes in to Independent Center, if they have work experience and are ready to go back to a supported employment position or even an independent position right off the bat, they can do that. And there, I feel like our staff empowers our members to do that often. And so I don't want it to be misconstrued that anybody coming in, any member has to start in a transitional employment position, because that's sometimes not the case. You know, it's a great resource for somebody who's looking to return to work, but that might not be the best fit for every single person coming into our doors. And then we have the independent employment program. So the independent employment program, Chris, is your position now, would you consider it an independent employment position?
Yes. Mine was, as it evolved from Wells Fargo, I had, you know, had gone back as a contractor. That was, as a contractor, you're limited to 2 years. I was coming up on my second year, and about halfway through it, I start thinking, okay, where am I going to go from here? Because I knew I couldn't continue at Wells, and there wasn't any other positions that I could get hired on full time there. So, I went back with the center, talked with the employment staff, and lo and behold, they're like, well, we've got this connection with the Chase, and there was the position of engineer available. They said, well, go ahead, if you feel comfortable, go ahead and apply for it. I'm like, okay, I thought about it, thought about all the everything that it would entail, and whether or not I could physically and mentally handle everything. And I was in a really good place, and had gone through and built up all that confidence and security of saying, okay, yeah, I can do this. So, filled it out, filled out the online application, submitted it, and it was, and then connected with Stephanie through our employment staff. And it was, it was almost an immediate reaction. They're like, oh my gosh, yes, we need somebody like you, because of my, because of what my background was, in construction. So it worked out perfectly. And then once I did come in for the interview, it became, to not sound so cliche, but, it became a no-brainer. The engineer director, he was very excited, with our interview, and said that he was going back, immediately and talked to Stephanie about bringing me on. And within 24 hours, they called me with an offer, and I accepted.
Well, congratulations on the role. And you've been there for how long now?
It would be 2 years if it hadn't been for COVID.
Dang COVID. Some things you just can't help, but still a great accomplishment.
Yeah. COVID was, an interesting little twist to everything. It was not something that they really wanted to do, but just because of the situation, they had laid us all off. And only kept only a handful of engineers on. But as I went through, I kept in contact and everything. And the position, they knew that I was, with my constant contact going back and forth, during the layoff period. They knew I was, you know, how I was, how talented I was, how passionate I was with my work, that there was an opportunity to bring me back in the private residence engineer position, which is something that is completely separate from the hotel as to where I am. I do everything that's needed on the residential side for like 25 floors in 76 condo residents, whether they need light bulbs change or, you know, some repairs done, I can step in and take care of all that. So I was a perfect candidate again for that because of my background and again of my work ethic and my caring and passion of me. And they knew that there was a, you know, I was a perfect guy for that position.
Well, and I think it speaks volumes to the relationships that you were able to build over time at the Chase. And everybody went through a pretty hard time this past year when it comes to employment, and especially in hospitality. It just was very challenging. I don't need to tell you that, but it's so great that you've been able to get a new position, return to work, and now working in the private residence side. So Stephanie, I'm curious, you know, when Independence Center came to start working with the Chase, is this a common occurrence where somebody is working in a transitional or supported employment position and then they're wanting to transition into another longer term position with the Chase? And how did you support people in making that transition?
Yes, definitely. We had several members who started out in a transitional employment position and then expressed interest in either a part-time or full-time position through either supported or independent employment. So, you know, it really just depended on the member and what they were ready for and if we had a position available. But I can think of at least a handful of people who were able to successfully transition into full-time employment with us. So that also helps us, you know, fill our pipeline with great candidates and get to know them through that transitional employment period before we bring them on as regular full-time employees.
Absolutely. It's kind of like the best of both worlds, almost like a 6 to 9 month interview period with somebody where you can really get to know them.
With Chris, you know, he has a great personality. He's really easy to get along with. So he's a great fit for the Chase Park Plaza. And when we had the opening on the private residence side, we knew that he would be great because of his skill set, but also his ability to just interact with people and have his personality shine through. With the private residence, it's all about building those relationships because, you know, they're here all the time. So it's important to have employees who really get along with the residents and are able to form those relationships.
So do you think that working with Independence Center and the employment programs has changed the culture at the Chase at all? And if so, in what way?
Yeah, I think it's made us a lot more empathetic and patient. You know, we've looked at creative ways that we can get the work done and help others at the same time. It's really interesting because, you know, you don't see mental illness. It's all going on inside. So someone can look like they've got it all together on the outside and you have no ideas the struggles that are going on inside. So I think that's been a learning experience for us where we see members who seem to be thriving and doing well. And then suddenly they'll say, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I'm going to have to pull out of the program. And we're really surprised by that. But then, you know, after having conversations, we learn about the struggles they're going through. So that's just been really interesting to see how on the outside, someone can appear to have it all together, but then you have no idea what they're really going through.
Have you seen it? Have you seen that empathy translate into your other employees who are not participants of the employment program out of Independence Center? Has it been beneficial to other employees too?
Yeah, definitely. I think especially right now during this time, you know, everyone's kind of aware that there's going to be a lot more mental health issues because of everything that we've been through over the last year or so. And so we're taking the approach of, you know, really listening to our employees, maybe not expecting as much as far as performance, because we all know, like, we're all going through it right now. It's been difficult for everyone in different ways. Like, no one has come out of this unscathed, you know, whether it's losing your job and your income or working throughout the whole entire pandemic and just taking on a lot more work than you had before. Or some people are working from home and that comes with its own stressors. You know, everybody has a different type of stress going through what we've all been going through. So I think right now we just really need to ask employees, how are you doing? And take the time to listen. And then, you know, point them in the direction of professional resources. You know, I often joke as a human resource professional that I need to always have a tissue box on my desk and I need a couch in my office because I feel like a psychologist, but I'm not a psychologist. So it's important that I, you know, let employees know about the resources that are available to them. I think most employers have like an employee resource program available, which is a really great resource. And we just need to get rid of that stigma behind asking for help. You know, I still hear it from employees today. Like, I almost called that phone number, but I didn't. And I'm like, why not? I've called the number. My boss has called the number. Like, there's no shame in asking for help. So I think right now, especially, it's important that we take that time to listen and then to point people in the direction of those professional resources.
Yeah. And I think it is something that you kind of have to learn how to do, is ask for help. And I know a lot of people aren't very good at asking for help. And so, Chris, what's your experience been if you become symptomatic or if you are not feeling well? What's your experience been talking to your employer about that? Has that been something that you've learned how to do over time to make it easier on yourself to get the support? Or
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, as I've built the relationships through my time, there are, you know, I have those special people that I can pull aside and say, hey, I need to talk. I need to just kind of vent. I need to share what I'm feeling right now. And they're like, it's okay. Let's go down to the office and, you know, we'll spend some time and see what's going on. And, we'll work this out. So, you know, it is important, and it is kind of, you know, it's a security, it's like a security blanket. You know, you know, you have that and it's right there. Whereas sometimes, you know, for those of us that live alone, you know, in the evenings, it can be a little more tougher because we don't have that person like right there, you know, within our, you know, physical grasp of, you know, saying, hey, I need to talk, or I just need to, you know, I need that feeling. I need that energy. And it definitely builds up the confidence and the security, and again, seeing as time goes by, you're able to say, yeah, I did that. And I know I've said it before, but I myself take that a lot for granted, and that's another part that I'm working on. That's a constant thing to be aware of, and knowing that I have people around me that, you know, truly love and care about me. It's amazing. It's truly amazing, because again, this is a completely different atmosphere from a construction. And I don't want to really put a bad light on construction, but construction's, you know, not so much, you know, a real, you know, camaraderie as it is, you know, like here in the hotel.
Right. So how are you still connected to the clubhouse now? If you're working full time, you know, how do you maintain those relationships going forward with the people from Independent Center, from the clubhouse? What does that look like for you?
Being connected with the center is still very important for me because I know what they've done for me. And I myself want to give back and be there supportive for those members that are still struggling and that are still, you know, trying to figure out where they're going and what they can do. With me being on the strategic planning committee, that really helps me, you know, put a real set of eyes as to how the center plans and goes ahead with, you know, future ideas and evolutions of programs. And you can always say that someone that doesn't always deal with a mental illness, you know, can see things one way, but someone with an illness can see things completely different that someone else that doesn't understand. And that, you know, it's a complete coexistence that is necessary and is very important. And it is what is unique to the Independent Center and the clubhouse community of working together and building those relationships and being able to talk to each other and express ideas openly and not, you know, feel that, you know, you're going to be looked down upon or, you know, look different at.
It's kind of that power with each other, you know, collaborating Correct. With each other and supporting each other and even making strategic decisions for the organization with each other. I think that is something that really stands out to me that is different about Independent Center and about clubhouses in general. And I think it's great because it translates into that employment program where the Chase now is working with our members too and supporting them moving forward. So Stephanie, what would you say to somebody who is considering an employer? What would you say to an employer who's considering doing a transitional or supported program like this to support people with mental illness?
I would say just give it a try. You know, it can't hurt to try it out and see how it works for your organization. You know, we learned a lot along the way. It wasn't perfect in the beginning, you know. We had to work through some kinks for sure. But, you know, I think everyone in the organization is so, so great about, you know, supporting the members and finding ways to make it work. And I think, you know, on our side, you know, the Chase wanted to help the members too. Like we wanted to do whatever we could to make sure this program was successful. And sometimes we would try a position and it didn't work very well. And so then we try a different position. So I just really encourage other companies to give it a shot and to learn more about the clubhouse and the program. It's such an amazing program. I had no idea, you know, the depth of services provided to the members and just what a great community it is. I've met so many amazing people through this organization. So I just think it's very rewarding as an employer to get involved with the Independent Center.
Well, thank you guys so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I think employers are becoming more aware of their employees' overall mental health, and that it's a great shift in our culture as a community, but there's still work to do. And so I appreciate you both coming on and speaking with me today. And before I let you go, I do want to ask one final question. And that is, if you could debunk one myth about mental illness, what would it be?
One myth I think is that people with mental illness are difficult to work with. And in my experience, some of my favorite employees are Independent Center members who are a complete joy to work with. They make my day. So, you know, we just have to remember that 1 in 5 people will have a mental health issue at some point in their lives. And we work with people with mental illness every day. You know, for some of them, it's undiagnosed. For others, it's untreated. But when you're working with a member of the Independent Center, you know that member is getting help and support, and that support is going to increase their chances of successful employment.
From my point of view, never forget that no matter how someone looks or how someone acts, at some point, you know, they're dealing with something inside that they don't always want to share. And being more kind to each other, being supportive of each other, you can find out so much more about who a person is and who a person truly is. I can only say that, you know, from my standpoint, you know, from, you know, a big guy like me, working in construction, you know, people would say, you know, I said, well, I just don't feel like I'm having a good day, or, you know, something's just not right. And most guys would say, oh, just don't worry about it. You're just having a bad day. Just buck up and deal with it. And it's like, no, there's something else, but it's hard to describe what someone is feeling inside, because that someone doesn't always want to express that, because it's very hard to do that. Be a little more empathetic, be more sympathetic for somebody and with someone. Don't be so quick to judgment, and just be there for someone. Because again, you never know what they're dealing with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, Stephanie and Chris, thank you so much for the conversation today. If any of our listeners want to know more about Independent Center's employment program, please click the link in the show notes. I've also linked the Chase Park Plaza's website. So if you're in St. Louis, you can check them out, support them, stay with them, go to a movie with them. The Chase is one of the most beautiful hotels in the area, and clearly they're doing great work to support our community. So support them if you can. We'll have that linked on our website so that you can find them easily, and book a stay if you are in town. And then if you liked what you heard today, please make sure that you're rating and reviewing our podcast. If you have a guest in mind that you'd like to hear from, you can also reach out to us on Instagram at Let's Rethink This Pod. If you're struggling with a mental illness or a substance use disorder, please visit our website, www.independentcenter.org, for a list of local and national resources. I can't wait to talk with you all next week.